Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Is the government about to introduce statutory sick pay for all workers? Last week, the Acting Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ronan Din, confirmed that NPHET had recommended to government that it should take action to ensure that sick workers can afford not to go to work. The comments followed anecdotal evidence that some low-paid workers were masking COVID symptoms because they weren't entitled to sick pay. This evening in the Dáil, the Labour Party is introducing legislation that would give all workers the legal right to 6 weeks of sick pay. And in the last 20 minutes, our political correspondent Micheál Lehane is reporting that the Cabinet agreed today to begin consultations shortly with unions and employers with a view to introducing statutory sick pay here. For more, I'm now joined by Labour's finance spokesperson, Jed Nash. Good evening to you, Jed.
Hi, Philip.
A lot of confusion, I think it's fair to say, about what sick pay entitlements are, because it's like a bit of a multicoloured patchwork quilt, very different for different sectors and very much at the discretion of employers. Basically, some paying sick pay, some not paying sick pay. And in the context of a pandemic, that's not particularly helpful, is it?
It isn't. The picture is a little unclear, but what is clear is that we don't actually have in this country a legal right to sick pay. We've a voluntarist model, and that model is in operation with some companies. A lot of multinational corporations operate attractive benefit schemes that include sick pay schemes, for example. But we have a gap in our social protection system here in Ireland. We're quite unique, actually. 22 European Union states have a form of statutory sick pay scheme where people are paid, in many cases, the equivalent of what it is they're earning on a week-by-week basis. Even the UK has a scheme as well. We don't here. So this has had huge implications in terms of our fight against COVID-19, as you correctly point out. And the need for a statutory sick pay scheme didn't dawn on us just today or yesterday. This has been a problem for a number of years. But I think the COVID-19 pandemic has illustrated the real problem that we have here. And Ronan Glynn has said it time and again, not for the first time last week, by the way. A number of months ago, he had mentioned this. He had made it very clear that the need for a statutory sick pay scheme is a very important weapon in terms of our armoury and our fight against COVID-19 and the spread of COVID-19 in the workplace. And we've seen the problems with meat plants, we've seen the problems in nursing homes, and we really need at this point in time not a conversation about it, because government have kicked this can down the road. It's likely that we could end up having a vaccine before we get a government decision. We need action on this now.
Can you help me with a bit of a roadmap here, first of all, as to who is entitled to what? Who gets illness benefit?
Well, at the moment, ordinary illness benefit, as it were, you're not entitled to that until you're working for a particular period of time, and you're required to have 2 years of stamps paid. So you have to be in the system for two years.
So PAYE workers only
PAYE workers for a start. So, but the COVID-19 illness benefit, the special scheme that was brought in, is slightly different. And that's a very good scheme. But what we're looking at here is trying to ensure that we've got the kind of scheme that ensures that workers can safely take the time off to allow them to isolate, get through their symptoms. The WHO, for example, has said that, you know, you're talking about 6 weeks here from the first sign of symptoms to allow you to recover, to get back to work. In many cases, it won't take 6 weeks, but we've looked at what the WHO have said and we've looked at the experience elsewhere. And we're not just designing a system here to deal with the immediate threat of COVID-19 and making sure that workers can isolate safely and in a financially secure way, but we're looking at addressing a gap here in the Irish social protection system that puts us at variance with our European Union partners in the long term.
So what changes are you proposing now? What would the state have to pick up? What would the employer have to pick up?
Okay, well, what the bill says is that we would be providing a right, if this bill is passed, to paid sick leave for up to 6 weeks. And I said that's the period that the WHO have indicated would involve the recovery time in terms of COVID-19. But in truth and the reality would be that for most workers, they would be coming back to the workplace in a shorter period of time. What we're also introducing as well, Richard, is the right to paid force majeure leave for parents. I mean, we had an incident in my own hometown of Drogheda last week, St Oliver's Community College into town, one of the largest second level schools in the country. You know, first, second and third years were sent home because of a COVID-19 issue in terms of diagnosis of a teacher. The school managed that reasonably safely with the advice of NPHET and so on. But the reality for a lot of parents was they were coming home for work, eating into their exhausted annual leave, and that's not a situation that we want to find ourselves in. So at the moment, we've got the COVID-19 illness benefit payment. That doesn't support workers to the degree that we would like, to allow them to isolate and get themselves well safely. So once you pay into the PRSI system over 2 years, you can get your illness benefit, your normal illness benefit. But that does not, to me, represent a well-designed, mature, civilised, European Union-style sick pay scheme.
Which would be what?
Which would be full pay up to 6 weeks. Clearly, there would be implications for employers. But remember, the illness benefit, in fact, could be returned to the employer. And we have shown ourselves over the last few months, in the context of the emergency situation that we're in, to be able to design systems to support jobs and support businesses, you know, like the temporary wage subsidy scheme that's okay. now been transformed to the EWSS, and the PUP payment, to, you know, provide huge resources to businesses and to workers to protect their incomes. And I think in the short term, there's a role for the state to assist in providing the resources to assist employers okay. in this context, on our way to designing a longer-term sustainable sick pay scheme that's in line with the European Union.
Let me see if
colleagues.
I have the basics straight here. You're saying that the employer would pick up the pay for the first 6 weeks, and after that, the person could transfer to illness benefit. Now, they're not here.
The illness benefit that you'd be receiving would be paid back to the employer in the normal way. So in many respects, looking at the median income
after the first month and a half, the state will step in effectively.
Potentially, I mean, that it's not beyond our ken to do that, because we have designed very, I think, progressive systems over the last few months to support businesses in difficulty and to support workers through this unprecedented challenge that we have at the moment. So, you know, we will be prepared to look at designing a system like that okay. on our way to designing a sustainable system of statutory legal sick pay for all workers into the future.
Now, they're not here because they're actually off negotiating with government, I gather, but the employers, presumably, if they were here, would say, look, what you're actually doing by loading these costs onto us is threatening jobs, putting them at risk rather than protecting them.
Certainly not. I don't think it's a case that we cannot not afford to do this at this point in time. The situation is so severe. We need to support workers who have to isolate, people who have symptoms, because the reality is that far too many people in low-paid employment are going to work, putting themselves and others at risk. We need that safety net there. There are many, many employers across this country, in fact, a goodly minority, who do operate sick pay schemes at some cost to themselves. Most of them operate in the multinational sector and in some indigenous sectors as well. The fact is that it's by and large low-paid sectors of the economy where we don't have these kinds of sick pay schemes, and they're the areas that have been most adversely affected. The people who have to show up for work, the people who can't work from home, they are the workers and the businesses that need our support.
The incidence rate of the disease in your own neck of the woods in Louth has gone up to 101 per 100,000. Would you feel more comfortable if Louth was moved to level 3 now?
That's a conversation I think that NPHET and other experts will be having this week. I've appealed to my own constituents in Louth to follow Ronan Glynn's advice and to limit their social contacts and have their social contacts this week, because the economic consequences of Louth falling into level 3 are too severe, I think, to comprehend. We've seen the impact on Dublin, the impact on our national economy. I think we have time to arrest that situation, and I appeal to people to be safe, to follow the public health advice. There is a prospect, of course, that NPHET could advise government by the end of this week that my own county, my own constituency, would be moved into level 3. It's interesting, looking at the numbers by electoral district, there's a particularly acute problem in the north of the county. The problem is not as extreme in the south of the county. Then again, NPHET and the decision makers look at these situations on a county by county context, as we've seen with the Dublin experience.
But are you saying your preference would be Dundalk, not Drogheda?
No, I mean, the rules as they are at the moment would lead us to a situation where the entire county.
Yeah, I know, but are you saying your preference would be to distinguish between Dundalk and Drogheda?
Well, if that were all possible, I've made the case before that if you could actually have more localised lockdowns, as it were, and by the way, moving to level 3 isn't a lockdown, it's just moving on to another graduated step, then that might be a way to do it in an area that could sustain itself for a period of time. That being said, I understand the challenges that would present to authorities. County boundaries are understood, and There are challenges with county boundaries. For example, the south of County Louth, its natural hinterland, is in fact North County Dublin and East Meath. That's where people come into work from North County Dublin and East Meath into Drogheda, into schools, hospitals and so on. So it is a difficult challenge. As it stands at the moment, they are county by county graduated steps, and we could very well be looking at the prospect of moving into level three, sadly, over the next few days. But that's a decision that NPHET and government will have to make.
Yes, it is. Jed Nash, thank you very much.